So, Tom, do you want to do an intro?
I don't like it this way because you don't get to do the music bit.
All right.
I'm assuming you've added the music bit already.
Yeah, just pretend the music's going right now. You don't need to fucking hum it, you dickhead.
No.
Adam's really excited this week because he gets to go on a trip.
Yeah.
Might be good, might not be good.
It might be really good.
Wait for music to finish.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome to A Healthy Obsession. Stop shouting into the microphone. You don't need to move to the microphone. It's very loud. It's very loud already, and you leaning into it, screaming into it is not. It's just going to fucking break the speakers.
I need a producer.
That's me. Well, are you saying I need replacing as producer?
And co-podcaster.
Just in general, need replacing in all fronts of my life.
This is a perfect week because with you gone, I might just do a solo pod and see how it goes.
Yeah, but you don't have, you don't learn a valuable lesson here. Many an artist, a recording artist, has learned this lesson over the years. It doesn't matter if you don't have the distribution, Tom.
Yeah, what are you talking? Oh, someone to upload it. Is that what you're saying? I can record all I want, but you hit the upload button.
Yeah, you can't upload it. You don't have the
password. You've got the password to the account, for fuck's sake.
So, you go ahead and record your own podcast. No one will hear it.
All right, gatekeeper.
That's it. This is it. You just learned a valuable lesson. The means of production must be seized in order for you to distribute.
What a lesson in life.
Yeah, there you go. You're welcome. That's a freebie. So what's going on here?
Let's talk about you. You're set for a transatlantic trip to go watch the worst week of Man United season.
Mate, it's the first time in 4 years I've been to England. It's been a while. I right before COVID was the last time I went. November 2019 was the last time. So it's been a few years. Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So what have you got? So you fly tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Then you are.
You got to go to LA tomorrow, and then LA to London, and then up to Manchester for the Barcelona game on Thursday night. Which after the first leg, if it's anything like the first leg, it should be tasty because that first leg was. It's funny that those two teams just did not fancy defending. So if it's anything like that at Old Trafford, it should be good.
Yeah, it'll be a great game.
You
were sweaty during the first leg because it could have been a bad trip if that didn't go well. So you're all right now.
Well, and it's interesting because I totally forgot that away goals have gone away. So I was like, oh, United are 1 foot in, right? Two goals, you're sorted. But now it's like a little dodgy, isn't it?
Well, it's good for you because now you don't go home and park the bus. Now you've still got to go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. And Barcelona are not good at the back. They're still trying to do some of that stuff that they were doing when Xavi was playing, and they're still trying to do some of that. But the guys in the midfield, I can't remember the last name, it's Pedri and I forget, is it Gabby? The other line in the midfield?
Sounds right.
Yeah. So they're trying to do what the Barcelona team used to do, but they're obviously not as good. But they can be got. For sure. United, so disappointed they didn't win that game in Spain because they had about 4 or 5 massive chances. But yeah, it should be a good game anyway Thursday. So up to Manchester Thursday and then back down to London on Friday for the cup final weekend at Wembley. So
Newcastle on Sunday.
Newcastle on Sunday. It's going to be an interesting game. The atmosphere should be amazing, though. Obviously, both teams are going to travel heavy and not been in a final for a while, so it should be electric atmosphere.
Both games will be huge atmospheres.
But yeah, big atmospheres. So yeah, looking forward to it. It should be a fun week. As I say, not been over there for a while, so I've got to pack my big coat. I've not had the big coat out for ages.
Big coat.
It's a nightmare. Fucking hate it. What do you do when you travel to a colder place than the climate you live in? Because
take a big coat.
Yeah, but I don't want to take a big coat. It's a nightmare to travel with. What do you?
It's true. What do I do?
Do you just buy a coat when you get there and then just leave it there when you take off?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't just leave it there. I'd maybe give it to someone as a gift.
Yeah, I'll give it to a man.
Have you not got a coat? Like a proper coat?
Yeah, I've got a proper coat.
You just don't want to travel it.
No, it's massive.
Wear it on the plane.
Fuck that.
Wear it on the plane. That's what I would do. I'd wear everything on the plane.
Mate, it's a fucking Parker coat. Parker coat on a fucking 10-hour flight.
You walking through Terminal 1 at LAX in a Parker. It's 85 degrees.
Everyone think I've gone Hollywood.
I've just remembered I've bet against you this week, haven't I?
Yeah, just to wind me up.
I had a couple of beers on the weekend and I placed a bet on Barcelona, a little parlay of Barcelona and Newcastle both beating Man United.
But even worse, did you see my sober bet?
Oh, not great bet, is it? Adam has bet on Man United to win the quadruple. The quad. It's all over by the end of this week.
It could all be over on Sunday.
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday, yeah. It could be over on Thursday as well. My quadruple could be in the bin. Thursday night. Yeah, you know what? This is the problem when you don't go out on the weekend. So I had a quiet weekend and I was bored. So I'm like, all right, just going to make some dodgy bets.
United to win four trophies.
You know what I did bet on, though? We'll talk about this in a minute. I did bet on Liverpool to finish in the top four, and I think that's going to come true.
Not having that. I think Spurs finished top four over Newcastle.
You said definitely not a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Liverpool. I don't know, Tom. Van Dijk's back. Jota's back. The two lads that they need the goals from are starting to score.
Yeah, I'm going to keep talking like it won't happen. So
I fancy it. So I backed them. I backed Liverpool to finish in the top four as well, amongst other dodgy bets this weekend. I'm buying Munich to win the Champions League, but the odds were shit on that.
Yeah.
Odds were no good. But they were. So that's not really a dodgy bet.
But Spurs will win the Champions League.
No chance.
Against Milan.
I was going to say, you get knocked out by AC Milan next week. You know Giroud's going to score against you. You know guaranteed Giroud goal to knock pathetic. You out. It's going to happen. So what did you do? Were you busy?
A few bits and bobs here and there. Tried to lay low. I was playing darts Saturday night at home. I've got a dartboard set up now. I think I told you about in the pod before. So I'm basically just prepping myself for my future professional darts career.
Well, so you're playing less and less football and more darts.
Yeah, it's what you do when you want to be good at something. I don't need to be good at football anymore.
That's what you do when you're getting old, mate.
Investing in the darts career. I just need a dart name. I need a dart nickname.
Are you a member of the darts community?
I'm going to force myself to be.
Is there
a darts community here?
There is, definitely. Heath Hudson's part of it.
Oh, fair point. Well, then, if Heath Hudson's part of it, I'm probably not yet part of that community yet. I've not been invited in.
But they travel on all sorts. Like, he used to go to Vegas every other weekend for tournaments.
Right up my street.
But he would win money at those tournaments.
My current status, I'd win nothing.
Yeah, you're not going to.
Not great.
I still think Pamela would beat you.
Oh, definitely.
She's good at darts.
I've got a rule, 100 darts a day.
I'm not good at parlor games. I'm not good at pub games.
No?
Every time I'm in the pub, just drinking, not playing games.
I can see that.
Yeah. I like to talk too much to play the games. I've always got some interesting yarns to spin.
Jesus. No, you don't. I'll tell you that for sure. You definitely do not. That's why I go and play games. Get away from you.
That's a dig.
You drive me out.
That's a dig.
It's a dig.
All right, so do you want to talk about getting to the footy, or do you want to keep talking about life?
Well, it's an interesting... Well, I love talking about life, but interesting weekend of football. I mean, it is so topsy-turvy. It can't make its mind up.
It can't, can it?
It's exciting. It's getting interesting, which is what we wanted it to be. Nobody wanted Arsenal to run away with it, did they? No. But everyone else is just a bit crap this year, so... Yeah.
They're a bit rubbish. Everyone's a bit rubbish, and it's same down the bottom. The bottom's even crazier. It's all over the place.
Yeah, the relegation battle's brilliant this year.
Mm.
I think it's going to be class. But if let's have a look at the weekend's results. I mean, do we start with the obvious one, which was the first game of the weekend?
Well, would you want to back up to Wednesday? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, you want to go all the way back?
Well, because we didn't talk about Wednesday, and there was a huge game on Wednesday.
That's a very fair point.
Yeah, so Man City got a huge win in the title race against Arsenal, 3-1. You must be jumping for joy.
I was celebrating watching it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was interesting because Arsenal obviously a very good team. And they're going to be around for a while because what they're building is long-term, right? But I am thrilled to see that the wheels are coming off a little bit. I mean, that City game, what was it, 1-1 at one point? Half-time, 1-1.
Half-time, yeah. They got a penalty. Saka equalised with a penalty right before half-time.
Yep. And then from there, I think Pep made a couple of changes in the second half that Arteta really didn't respond to very well. It was a bit strange. I thought Arsenal would have a big go at City, but I think City's experience, it was almost like Big Brother, Little Brother, where Big Brother just knew how to get the result in the big game. But yeah, exactly what I was hoping for. That's true.
I was watching this and I thought, after the game had finished, I thought, this is City, as you just described it perfectly, like City just sort of cruised through this like it was like second nature to them, because it is really. And then they drew at the weekend with Forest 1-1, so I have no fucking idea what's going on.
You see, so I didn't watch the 1-1 draw. I've seen the goals.
But
half time, I don't know.
Bernardo Silva's goal, first of all.
Rocket. I think it's what you might describe as in the keeper's cage, which for me is like a box where he should get a hand on anything within that sort of central area of the goal. It's only gone about a yard or two off centre. Now, it's come with power, but it's come straight.
My first reaction when he hit it was like, that's down the middle of the net. The keeper should get something on that.
But it swerved a little bit and it definitely had some juice on it. Yeah, I mean, I've not faced a shot like that, so I can't tell you how easy it is to get a hand on. And but you know, it's come 25 yards, 22 yards.
You know what's so funny that I forgot that Keylor Navas is the goalkeeper for Forest. I was going to say, I was like, I can't remember who the keeper is for Forest. Oh, yeah, it's 5-time Champions League winner Keylor Navas.
it's not Mark Crossley anymore.
No, it's not Mark Crossley, no. It's definitely.
But yeah, maybe questionable, right? But they City had chances. I mean, at half-time, it was something like City had 86 or 87% of possession. Mm. I mean, that's just so dominant that you think there's no way they can't win the game. But you hang around for long enough, you limit chances. Do you see the chance that Haaland missed from about 6 yards?
Well, he missed it twice.
Oh, well, the first one was a good save, in my opinion. Second one, he's blasted it over the bar. You have a wind-up. You put your house on him to score that.
Do you think, it sounds ridiculous to say, because he's scored 25 goals already this season, but do you think that he's making City a little too one-dimensional in certain games? Not all, obviously, because they dominated, well, didn't dominate, but they got a good win against Arsenal. But then against Forest, in other games, when everything sort of goes through him, they struggle a bit.
I think you've got this argument of that it's almost chicken or the egg kind of problem, because everyone was saying they needed a striker when they didn't have a striker, even though they were winning. And there were some games where they wouldn't win a game and people would go, oh, well, they're missing a striker. That's why they just need that one guy that can score goals. Well, now they've got the one guy that scores goals. They're saying, well, we just need, you know, he's too dominant. There's too much going through him. So
yeah, it's a bit cheap, when you say it like that.
I say it's the beauty of football, but it's also the absolute like moronic nature of football, because there's so many what ifs. You know, there's so many different ways of doing it, and you can spin it any direction. Your team wins 5-0 with Haaland, and you go, what a brilliant signing. Your team draws 1-1, and you go, oh, he's ruined us. What are you on about? Like, you can spin it any way you want.
And, but it also gives talking points to dickheads like us for podcasts.
Shh, don't tell the people that.
What do you think came first, the chicken or the egg?
We had a bit of a discussion about this the other day.
What, you in the darts community?
Me and Skylar Schwartz, which you can imagine how that went.
Philosopher's Club.
Talking about the universe. I've got a nice little theory.
Go on, then.
So I reckon there's the same life. All of this is just happening at the same time. Nope. There's a name for this, but I don't know it. But my theory is, because the Earth is expanding, that we're just like overlapping each other.
What do you mean? Timelines.
Timelines. The timelines all start the same, but because it's expanding, they're just starting later.
I think you've watched, what's it called? What's that Marvel film called with the quantum realms?
I don't watch films, mate.
You don't watch anything? Right.
So going back, yeah, chicken or the egg, we came to the conclusion that it was neither.
So where did everything come from?
You just have to accept that you'll never know.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I think some people aren't knowing. I think that's where religion came from.
It's impossible. It's impossible to know.
But religion, and does religion answer the man's question for a deeper need of meaning?
Well, no, because where did the religion come from?
Well, it came from man.
Yeah, but where did man come from? See where I'm going here? Anyway.
It came from an egg.
Tailing this back to Manchester City and Nottingham Forest.
Take it back to Nottingham, Tom.
Back to Nottingham, where it all started.
Fucking Robin Hood.
This is a great clip. We should send this to potential investors for the pod. There's no chance people don't bite on this. So, for me, massive, massive 2 points dropped for City. Enormous point gained for Nottingham Forest. Just keeps everything a little bit interesting, doesn't it?
Did you see... So, Chris Wood scored the equaliser. Did you see Chris Wood's deal for Forest to sign him?
What's his deal?
I only know this because Ricky Seuss told me this on Saturday. He's a Forest fan. And he said they had a deal where once he had played three games for Forest, they were obligated to sign him. So this was his third game. So they were obligated. No way.
So now you have to sign him.
Yeah. Who signs a deal like that? What if he was absolutely shit?
After three, you're stuck.
Muppets. Yeah, so anyway, he's permanent, but I like a Chris Woods goal. He's an old school striker. Makes me happy.
Well, it was a great actual little bit of build up. There's two little runners dribbling down the right, wasn't it? And the ball across the box I thought was excellent.
Great,
the ball to the back post.
So hard to defend.
Yeah. I thought it was a great goal. Big result there.
So elsewhere, top of the league, Arsenal got a sweaty win in the end against Aston Villa. They won 4-2. A couple of talking points here. First of all, Villa were 2-1 up. It was late goals and an interesting Oggy. Did you enjoy that Oggy? Probably not, because you hate Arsenal. But I thought
Martinez won, right? So I didn't get up and watch the game, let's be honest. Nobody did, because it was at 4:30 in Arizona in the morning. So I got up, and this is how sick life is. I got up, I checked the scores immediately, and it was 2-2, and it was 90th minute. And I was like, go on, what a great start to a Saturday. Arsenal dropping points again, as I predicted. And then the sick world of football, two injury time goals for Arsenal. It was funny, because apparently Arteta was really kicking off right before that, wasn't he? Giving it the whole moans. He's a little bit whiny at the moment, stamping his feet and all that. But
feeling the pressure for the first time this season.
But they got a lucky break. I mean, it's an unbelievable shot by Jorginho, right? He's absolutely smashed it. But how often does it come back and hit the keeper on the back of the head and still go in?
You need a bit of that rubber to green, though, don't you, if you're going to be winning leagues, Tommy?
Is that the moment they look back on and go, oof, we dodged a bullet there. They win the title by a point, and that's where it come from.
Yeah, maybe. This is how we finished fourth ahead of Tottenham.
No chance. So... Yeah, I suspected Arsenal might struggle at Villa, but sometimes when things are going your way, they're going your way. Obviously, the fourth goal is just, I mean, Villa are trying to get back into the game, throwing everything forwards, leaving themselves exposed. But
so did you hear about this after the game? Unai Emery gave a bollocking to Martinez, because apparently he went up for the corner and Emery doesn't want him going up for the corner, and he went up anyway. And yeah, so he's given him a bollocking afterwards, because obviously they've come down and scored the fourth, yeah. Right? So would you be upset as that as a coach? I mean, well, he's going for an equaliser. Why would the manager care about that?
I don't understand it personally. I guess the manager has to maybe approve it to send a goalkeeper up. Now, I don't know why he wouldn't send a goalkeeper up. If it's 3-2 with minutes to go, you can equalise and go 3-3. Or you lose 4-2. It's not like Villa are in the relegation zone and goal difference is going to send them down. I think they're about 11th.
They're not going to look back and be like, oh, bugger, we lost 4-2 instead of 3-2, are they?
Yeah, they're not going down by a goal. I don't think the goal difference is that bad. If we look at here, I mean, they're sitting in 11th with minus 10 goal difference. If you look down the bottom, well, I mean, Villa, West Ham minus 10, Leeds minus 11. I mean, could it be a factor at the end of the season? Maybe, but they're 8 points out of the relegation zone. So I don't know if that's the way I'd be thinking. I'd be thinking if we can grab a point here. So mentalities, I guess.
Yeah, so it's you said it would be a tough game. Going to Villa is always tough, but a good result for Arsenal. Now they go to Leicester next. They've got Everton. It gets harder for them in April. I'm just looking at their schedule here in April. It gets tricky for them, and I think that's when it heats up, doesn't it? When the title race really heats up. But nonetheless, it's a great result for them, and they're back on top of the pile.
Back on top of the pile, 100%. And they go to a Leicester that just got absolutely demolished by your lot.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that one quickly, because I was interested. I like Ten Hag more and more every game, because he apparently not always he keep winning, but he gave the team a fucking bollocking apparently, and was in the press conference after the game not happy. And he was right. United were terrible in the first half. God knows how they were 1-0 up at half time. De Gea made a couple of world-class saves. And Leicester, I thought Leicester were really good. And obviously, they smashed Tottenham the week before. And they looked good. James, everything's got to go through Maddison because he's on a different level. I'd be surprised if he's still at Leicester next season because he's phenomenal. First touch, vision. He's always looking to create and go forward. Wouldn't mind United getting a little cheeky bid in for Maddison in the summer. But at second half, the way the manager switched things around, that's what United have been missing for years. It's what Solskjaer couldn't do. Bringing Sancho on at halftime and switching the forward line around, it changed the entire game. And obviously, I think he might be getting a tune out of Sancho finally. It seems like it's a struggle, but Sancho seems to be clicking a bit now.
He played him as a 10, didn't he? And he dropped Weghorst deeper and he put Rashford out on the left, shuffled it up a little bit.
Yeah, I was sort of shaking my head. What the fuck do I know? Because Rashford hadn't scored and it was great through the middle in the first half. And Gary Neville said something interesting during the commentary. He said, United's schedule is so hectic at the moment that he can't play Rashford wide because he's going to be tracking and covering too much ground. He said, so he can't not play Rashford. Yeah. So he's got to play him as the nine just to conserve energy a bit, which I thought was interesting. But then the second half, he pulled Rashford out to the left and Rashford did well. But that front four, the rotation of those front four players is really interesting because he's pushing Fernandes to the right. He keeps, but then Weghorst, I think, had the most tackles in the game. He looked like a defensive midfielder in this game, which he actually did really well. But it's easy for the simpleton like me to slag him off, where I'm like, you're not scoring goals, mate. You're a striker. Score goals. But he's providing something else. But that's what United have been missing: a manager that actually can fucking manage.
Yeah, it's sad, but you're right. Yeah, it disappoints me that he's doing well, but no, he's got a clue, hasn't he? And you look, it's funny, there's some comparisons made between him and Potter this week without taking it away from United, but with Potter. So when United lost at Brentford, what was it, 4-0, right at the beginning of his kind of
second year.
He brought them in the next day and they ran the distance that Brentford ran, didn't they? It was like 13 or 14 kilometers, and he actually ran it with them. I didn't know he ran it with them. And a comparison to make is Potter's on a horrible run with Chelsea, and apparently given the day off after this Southampton loss. Now, I get it, they were away in Champions League duty during midweek in Germany, but different mentalities, right? It's creating a culture. And I think he's doing an unbelievable job of changing that dynamic at United, because it was rotten. I mean, you had he's got rid of Ronaldo. He's completely changed the vibe. It's unreal what he's done, to be fair.
Well, and just handling that Ronaldo situation could have been absolutely shit, because if you get Ben Ronaldo off and then you go on a bad run, you're done. You're going to get crucified, right? Because, you're getting rid of the United legend. He's been treated poorly. And instead now it's like no one's even mentioned Ronaldo's name. No one gives a shit. And all of a sudden Rashford comes out of the shadows, right? Because now Ronaldo's not the main man. Rashford's the main man. So I think he said something there at the end of the game as well, which is he just instilling rules and principles on the team, which again, United haven't had. They've had no structure. You don't know what the team's about. They're not a counter-attacking team. And now they look at least like they've so in a short space of time, you just said it there. It's like turned it around really quickly. It's exciting to see what he's going to do in the next short while here.
Lose to Barca, lose to Newcastle. And then we'll be slagging him off next week. I love it.
I'm not coming home next week. If we win both those games, I'm staying for the rest of the season. We're going to win the quadruple and move back to England until the end of the season.
Listen, if my bet comes in, I'll buy your flight back.
Yeah, nice one, mate. If my bet comes in, I'll actually start putting some money into AHO.
Buy me a real microphone.
Brilliant. Yeah, get you a proper mic. All right, moving on from United. You just mentioned it. Chelsea, let's talk about quickly before halftime. Southampton, James Ward-Prowse basically is free kicks are tap-ins for him now. He's one away from Beckham's record of 19 free kicks scored.
There's a debate yesterday about who's the best all-time Premier League free kick taker.
David Beckham.
I think it's Beckham still, but there was some argument for Ronaldo, but I think he scored one out of 30.
Ronaldo,
but when he did score them,
yeah, they just look good. But
when they did hit the target, he was good. Ward-Prowse is Ward-Prowse and Beckham, isn't it?
Ward-Prowse is at 18, Beckham's on 19, and Ward-Prowse has still got obviously some wheels to burn. Yeah. But yeah, Chelsea had about 400 chances in this game. It is unbelievable. When things are going badly for you, things are going badly, because they should have scored about four in this game.
I do feel for Potter because I think he's the pressure's enormous now. But Chelsea, you've got to make a choice. Stick with him and just accept that you're probably going to finish between 7th and 12th and just accept it and let him get on with it. Or they burn that and they bring someone else in, which I don't think fixes the problem they've got. I think the problem they've got is they've bought so many new players that it's a mixed pot and it needs someone to get through a pre-season and to really get into that team and establish what they need to do.
I sound stupid saying it, but I think they've got too many good players. They've got too many good players all doing the same thing. And Potter's, I said it from the day he was hired. I think it was a bad move for him. I mean, it's over his head. Chelsea always a transitional. They're signing so many players, and you just said it there. It is the owner. Owner's not obviously not a fucking idiot. Is he just like bagging players basically so that a new manager can come in? They build now, the season's a write-off, and then they go into next season fresh with a new manager and they've already got the players that they need to do it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that because, I think Potter's obviously a good manager. He's not a chump, is he? But he got thrown in. He went from Brighton 1 week to his first game at Chelsea was a Champions League away game in a group stage, within a 5-day window. So he's had no time to prepare and actually get into it. He's just reactive right now. So, yeah. We'll see what happens with him. I hope he stays there because it's great for Spurs. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I think there might be some jobs that open up. I think West Ham are in trouble right now. Spurs just beat them 2-0 yesterday, which we'll skip over. But if that job opened up and Potter was to be gone, I could see him going somewhere like that. But Chelsea, in trouble.
Let's skip halftime and let's talk about Tottenham really quickly. First half was dreadful, but let's talk about West Ham more so. Did you see Mark Noble in the stands and what a fan did to him?
No, what happened?
Tottenham fans sat in front of him in the stands and he's put his coat down and someone stuck a Spurs pin on the collar of his coat. He's put his coat on and someone snapped a picture of him with a Spurs badge on his coat.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's fucking funny.
That is outstanding work.
Yeah, it's good. Great banter. So, first half was dreadful. What is missing at Spurs, I think, is just it feels like there's no magic there. It's just flat. Same at West Ham. Like they just look they're desperate for just a bit of something. It's crazy how quickly they've fallen off because they were top seven. Well, they're in Europe, right? So top seven team last year.
Yeah, but they haven't really done any good business. They've got they're an interesting club because they're never going to be. I don't think they're going to be a top four club without massive change. You look at David Moyes, you know, West Ham fans can't stand him now because of his negative approach to the game, blah, blah, blah. But look at what he achieved with them in the last few years. Maybe he's at the end of his run with them. Maybe he's got everything he can out of them and it needs a new player, you know what I mean? But I don't know. It's as a club, they're a bit of a strange club, West Ham. They're kind of the best of the rest in a strange way. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Because they're a big club, right? But they're still they've got the stadium, they've got the money, but they're kind of an Aston Villa and Everton,
yeah.
Newcastle were like that, not so much anymore. But like they've just sort of slot in that middle pack of teams, don't they?
Yep, 1,000,000%.
And this because of all the crazy results this weekend, that slips them into the relegation zone.
Yeah, well, it's mad. I mean, Southampton getting a win away at Chelsea, and then you've got. You look at the table now. Who's down at the bottom? Is it still...
Yeah, so Southampton are bottom on 18, but now they're a point off Leeds, who are 19, who also lost at the weekend 1-0 to Everton. West Ham are third from bottom on 20. But above that is Bournemouth on 21, Everton on 21, Wolves on 23, Leicester on 24. Still in reach. I mean, they're still not out of it.
Forest are up to 13th.
Right, on 25, yeah. So
I mean, there's six, I would say Palace, 6 points from Palace to West Ham. That can swing in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, I mean, one, and those games are coming up. Like this Everton and Leeds game this weekend, it's just a huge match for like the destination of where these teams are going to end up. Yeah. What do you think of the Everton goal, the Coleman goal?
I didn't see it, mate.
Oh, yeah, you got to go and watch it.
I was going to try and blag it for a second there, but I didn't see it. The listeners will see through me.
It went down. I'll describe it to you. It went long ball down into the channel. Coleman's running onto it, and he's looking to hook the ball on a half volley from outside the 18-yard box. and looks like he's going to cross it into the box. He's the keeper's cheated, and he's just driven it into the net.
Oh, for God's sake.
Keeper's in no man's land. He's had a nightmare.
Young goalkeeper, always a risk.
You know who keeps getting sweaty little wins is Fulham.
Fulham are a good little team.
Huge win at Brighton, away at Brighton.
That's a big result. And then to sixth and seventh.
And then Bournemouth away at Wolves, another massive, massive result.
Madness. Absolute madness, mate. It's, I think, again, I don't want to call it the dross at the bottom, but it is a little bit drossy. Like, they can all beat each other on any day, can't they?
Yeah, definitely.
So
what else is going on this week? What else have we got coming up? What are the matches? We've got, let's look ahead quickly. So, you know, United obviously in the cup final, Tottenham Chelsea on Sunday. You've got fancy Spurs there. Oh, shit, Chelsea. Are. You'll lose that, won't you?
Yeah, we'll definitely lose it. It depends if Conte's back. Conte's pulled a sickie. He had an operation. So he came back. We were crap. And then he went, oh, I'm not well. I'm going to go back to Italy, which we've been better since. So when he was gone, we won. When he come back, we lost. And now he's gone again, we've won. So I'm just hoping maybe just stay at home for the rest of the season, mate.
Yeah, if you don't fancy him being on the sidelines.
Just stay away, pal. So that's a big one. Man United Brentford is postponed because you're playing in a cup final. You've got Palace Liverpool, which is a decent game at Palace. City go away to Bournemouth. You'd expect City to have a big response after this week.
Right. Arsenal at Leicester.
Forest West Ham's a big one. Yeah, I mean, there's some nice little games. Southampton Leeds.
Everton Villa, that's another one for Dyche.
That'd be brilliant if Dyche can get another one under his belt.
He's definitely going to get another one under his belt. No, hey, you know, I did it this morning. Sorry, go on. Say what you're going to say.
He's a draw monster. So he's just going to play for draws all season.
Nah, he's winning. They beat Leeds. They beat Arsenal. They're winning every game at Goodison the rest of the season.
That's a good shout.
Yeah, they won't win any games away, though. Nathan Jones got sacked by Southampton, and apparently he played in a pub match. He played in a pub football match yesterday.
No way.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of stick by the other team who were all Southampton fans. That's quite bold to go and play a pub football game after your local team's just sacked you.
In the town that you're...
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? Just stay at home?
I would.
Has he been playing Sunday League all season, or has he brought in as a ringer?
No, they brought him in a ringer. It's apparently the Dorset, whatever league. And yeah, they signed him the morning of. He was in the pub. He was apparently in the pub with his mate the night before. And they've signed him the morning of to play. He had no boots and shin pads.
Oh, for God's sake.
But apparently he had £1,000 Stone Island coat on in the clubhouse.
Not ideal when you've just been sacked.
And he set up the second goal, which is lovely stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Nathan Jones. He's got a future. Bounce back.
Yeah, he's bounced back.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he? All right, what else is going on, Thomas? Talk to me. This is the last time we're talking for a week or so.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you the whole week you're gone.
Well, that's not very nice.
Oh, do you want to talk to me?
I'm going to send you a picture with the Carabao Cup.
With the cup? You get me like the Salt Bay geezer.
Whoa. Completely forgot to talk about the highlight of the weekend.
What's the highlight of the weekend?
Nick Pope sending off.
Oh, by the way. Amazing for you lot.
What is he doing?
What was it? 20 minutes in?
Yeah, it was like they were already 1-0 down. He's come bombing out and he's gone for a diving header, butchered it, and then tries to grab
the ball. What do you think was going to happen? Just go 2-0 down, maybe.
All right, so have you know the rest of the twist in the tail, though, right?
Yeah, he's suspended for the cup final now.
Yeah, but it gets worse than that.
Why?
So Dubravka is cup tied because he played for United.
They've got no goalkeepers.
No, do you know who's starting?
Tell me, it's who's the lad, the Dutch lad that's amazing saving pens, who used to play there?
No, it's Loris Karius.
Karius? I thought he retired after his nightmare for Liverpool years ago.
Tom, it gets even better. Do you want the next bit?
Go on.
If United win the cup, Dubravka will get a winner's medal.
Shut up. No, he doesn't.
Has he played for United in the Carabao Cup?
No way.
How good is that?
What a twist. So he can't play in the game because he's already played in the cup for you lot.
Yeah.
And if you win, either way, he's getting a medal. He's guaranteed a medal.
He gets a winner's medal. I wonder, does he get to go up and pick the trophy up as well?
So if Newcastle win, he doesn't get a medal.
No, he doesn't get one because he's cup tied, so he's not involved in the Newcastle squad for the game.
Who's policing the medals? So, like, imagine if he tries, like, let's say Newcastle win and he tries to sneak up and grab one. No, you are not approved for this.
Sorry, mate, you're on the Man United Carabao Cup roster.
Who's got the medal guest list? Fantastic.
That is brilliant. What a shit show for Newcastle, though.
Lloris Karius and go, watch him have the game of his life. You know that it's coming.
I said that to someone at the field yesterday. I was like, yeah, this is funny. Karius, he's rubbish. He's not played for 4 years. He will have a stormer of a game.
Blinder.
Yeah. And he's ex-Liverpool, so the United are going to be giving him shit, mainly me, throwing stuff at him. And, yeah, he's definitely going to have the game of his life.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing for you lot.
No, but Joe Linton's out as well, injured, and they got some problems. And they're on terrible form.
Form is really bad.
Fallen off a cliff. They were poor against Liverpool as well. I don't know what's happened there. Eddie Howe gets sacked. What's his name there? Tuchel. Do you think he fancies living in Newcastle?
No.
Does anyone?
I like Newcastle. Good place.
Is it?
Good time.
Well, what do you mean?
Good people. Friendly. Good little atmosphere up there.
Okay.
A bit cold at times. Yes, bit windy at times.
They're freezing.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
That's it, mate.
Is that the end of the podcast?
I think it should be the end, I feel like.
Did you have a good time?
It's been okay. Probably solid 6.5 out of 10.
That's all right. I think that's
If you live your life at a 6.5 out of 10, are you happy?
I think most people are. I'm not.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to be, a 10 out of 10?
Yeah, obviously.
Impossible.
No, it's not.
It's impossible. You cannot be a 10 out of 10.
I've had 10 out of 10 moments. That's all I'm looking for. Moments, Tom.
Moments.
I'm not looking to consistently be a 10 out of 10.
So I want you... So here's what I want you to do whilst you're gone. I want you to keep, like you did in Las Vegas, a track of all the good things that happened on your trip.
Oh, what, my notes?
And yeah, I want you to keep notes of your trip.
I always do. I do that every day.
What are you doing life?
Yeah.
Your little... like that's like Dear Diary.
Yeah, Dear Diary. This one, I'll tell you, this was not good. Do more of this, less of this.
Dear Diary, this is Adam.
I'll just, but I'm going to title this one Dear Thomas. It's going to be
Dear all of them Dear Thomas.
Dear Thomas, today, this was great. This was shit.
Can you text me a daily roundup?
I'm going to send you a daily roundup, and you'll get it sometime in the afternoon because it'll be the middle of the night. Yep.
I want to know everything. I want to know how comfy or uncomfy your seat was on the flight. I want a review of the meal, the in-flight meal.
I've got the jet lag trick down, is that I'm going to stay on American time the whole time I'm there.
We'll just never, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, so you get up at lunchtime.
Get up at lunchtime, party all night, and then sleep at lunchtime.
I mean, to be fair, it might be the right way to go if you're only there for a week.
Yeah. And that'll be brilliant when I get back.
Straight in.
Oh, jet lag, yeah. What are you worried about?
Yeah, just don't change times.
Yeah, so I'm going to do some football stuff, updates on the AHO Instagram. If anyone's around Manchester or London, wants to, I guess, actually a couple of people already meeting up, so that's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
People actually want to meet up with you?
I think I'm going to do a live podcast by myself in London.
Please do.
With Dean McGeady.
Do that. You should do that. That'd be brilliant.
Live podcast from Tower Bridge. I'm going to throw him off it. All right. Well, I'm out
on
of
that it. Note.
Yeah, it's been just wonderful, and I'll talk to you next week with Dear Tom notes.
Yeah, well, safe travels, mate. I'd say best of luck, but I've got some money leveraged against you, so I hope it's terrible on the pitch.
Coming home with a round. Do you know what's crazy is that this game against Barcelona is still the round of 32. I thought it was the quarters.
So far, and they're all two-legged ties up until the final. You got so far to go.
700 games before the final.
Just to win one cup. Never mind win the other three that you've backed.
Don't worry about us. We've got a squad, mate. We're going deep.
Ten Hag.
Yes.
All right.
Bye.
Press end.